So welcome to the studio, Indigo Girls. Thank you so much for coming back, and it's been a while. I've never interviewed you guys together, which is, I've always talked to you on the phone, Amy, and Emily, you've been in, I think, once before, and this is great to have you guys completely here together, and you've been busy last year through the summer and also up to the recording of the album. You've been doing a lot of things for the Honor the Earth benefit, and how did that go? Did it turn out the way you planned it to turn out?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the process of getting the campaign together. Back in 91, we sort of did a few shows, and then a couple years ago, we did that whole month-long tour, and after that, formed a board of people to make political decisions and to kind of make the decisions about where the money we raised went, because we gave grants, is what we did with all that money, and about 45 different groups received grant money, and, you know, we get updates about what they're doing, and we have a website, and you know, we're just kind of trying to get it together and figure out how to do the campaign and how to carry it and make it work. But we're doing another tour in September for Honor the Earth again, and this time it'll be on the East Coast mostly. And we're having meetings now about which issues to focus on and that kind of stuff. But it's a continuing thing. You know, there's things that turned out great and there's things that we're still working on. And I guess one of the most basic things is how do we tell people what we're doing without it sounding cliched, because I think people get numb. They hear environmentalism, they hear Indian, and they think New Age, and they think all these images, and it's not really what we're trying to do. Is something that affects everybody really directly, that has to do with government policies and environmental policies and indigenous policies, but it affects all of us, because it's the same, it's the transnational corporation sort of mentality that we're all fighting that keeps us all disenfranchised. So I think we're trying to figure out how to say it, you know, and obviously it takes a long time. It's not a sound bite. So,
when you started recording together, I mean, back in like the little Five Points pub days, did you ever think that it would get to this level? I mean, that you would have this much power ultimately? I mean, was this like the one of the goals that you had in mind for this?
No, I don't think that we ever thought about things like that, actually. I mean, back then we were political in our lives and in our sensibilities, but not to the extent that we are today. And the other thing was that we were just, we didn't think about the future as far as ever getting signed to a major label or how many records we'd sell or anything like that has never really concerned us. So, and I guess, you know, we have a certain amount of influence just because of sheer numbers. But beyond that, you know, power is a very individual thing. You know, lots of people have different kinds of power. And I think that we've just done music because we've always loved it. And we still feel the same way about it. And we've just been fortunate enough to learn about some of these issues that we can get behind.
It's hard when I think a lot of it is expected of you, and when you first get into it, I think you're not really free to do what you really want to do in the way of positioning yourself for things that you want to accomplish cause-wise or benefit-wise, people that you want to help along the way. Do you feel that way now? I mean, that you can actually do what you really want to do in the way of recording or in the way of utilizing your tour time?
We always felt like we could do what we wanted, actually, which is, I think, because we adjusted, always had our expectations adjusted. I mean, when we started out, even in the pub days and in the early Decatur days, you know, we would do little benefits that were more localized, community things, for like soup kitchens and stuff, homeless shelters, or maybe a local Greenpeace organization. And we didn't really shoot for big. It was never like we have to achieve this big thing all the time. And we did little small recordings. And so, and then when we signed, we pretty much hung on to all of our creative freedom. I mean, there's a lot of compromise that comes with working with a big company just by virtue of the fact of how many people you're working with. It's a large bureaucracy. Things get lost, you know, in the conversation. Things get dropped through the cracks. And so I think that that's part of the problem. I don't think we ever felt like, oh my God, you know, we're giving up all this stuff and we're going to have to wait until we get big to achieve what we want to achieve. I think it's just been, it's grown with us. We've evolved as our careers evolved. So it's good. We feel lucky.
As word of mouth comes back into the hometown, a lot of people are very, very pleased with what has been happening and what you have accomplished so far. And sometimes I don't think you guys really, you know, catch that, since you're always, you know, on the road, around doing different things that you do, that you finally get that feedback. And I'm sure you do in a lot of ways, but sometimes, you know, we catch a lot of it here, just through listeners calling up because they don't have anyone else to really sound that off of. Now, before we get into the album, the current album, Shaming of the Sun, I want to go ahead and play the song, which is the current single, Shame on You. And now, are you guys working on a video for that?
Yes, we are. We're in the final stages of putting it together, so it's almost done.
In fact, I think as we were getting the interview all set up, you were talking about different tweakings of the video. So how soon is that going to be, I'd say, on MTV, or how soon will it be available?
I don't know. How soon is it going to be on MTV? I'm asking our manager right now, looking at him. Early next week, says Russell, our manager.
I don't know.
You know, if they play it, great. If not, whatever. It's the same experience we've always had.
They're experimenting more, I think, now with M2. There'll be a lot more of a chance to actually get a lot of the videos exposed that otherwise would have to be stuck in and around singled out or the other different program.
I mean, I've watched M2 recently, and to me, it's like the best of what radio can be, too. It's just a whole mishmash of different bands and totally eclectic, and I find that interesting.